Well, good morning. Please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. As we read the news, one of the things I found, I don't know, kind of ironic is one of the books that I was reading in preparation for this was written during World War I. And he dealt with the anxieties that the people of the day were having in reading the news and what was going on in Europe and all the mayhem and chaos and the uncertainty and the rise of this, that, and the other thing. And it was a reminder that nothing changes. We have our worries. I have here, we live in troubling times, you know, that could be written any time. There's always something to fret about. There's always something to worry about. And in Paul's day, in Paul's place, he is ministering in a totalitarian state that was grossly immoral. That was at the time of this writing beginning the extended efforts that would last several hundred years to quash Christianity, to destroy it, to malign it, to slander it. And this was the nation in which he lived. He is imprisoned for the sake of the gospel and writing Philippians from his incarceration. And we've just looked at the previous couple of verses where he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then we're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7 today. He says, be careful, be anxious, be worried for nothing. Don't be fretting about anything. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to fret. I am the news junkie. I like to know what's going on. And, you know, it's funny. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about the more you know, the more trouble you'll have because the more you know. There's more things to worry about. You know, ignorance is maybe bliss. It's not a virtue. there is some truth in ignorance being bliss because I don't know. I don't know all the problems that are out there. I don't know what's going on. Don't talk to me about that. I don't want to know. I could sympathize with that to some degree. And so we worry, we fret. And I have a number of things there in your outline, the troubles that we face on a day-by-day basis. And this would be true in any era. It doesn't matter what the news is today. This would be we deal with health. I related this the other day. I look at myself in the mirror and I think, who is that? Who is that old guy? You know, when I see Andrea Aiken maybe once a year, Kathy's oldest daughter. I've known Andrea since she was in third grade. And every time I see her, Andy, dude, you're looking old. Thanks, Andrea. I appreciate that. Now I can say, so are you. You're in your 40s now. Hopefully you're listening to this in Costa Rica. And so we deal with health issues, aches and pains, those things that happened in my 30s and never went away and they just keep multiplying. What is wrong with me? Well, it's what happens, and I see people smiling and just, yes, yes, yes. Just wait. Just wait. Some things we endure, then we deal with the things that require medical attention, and then we have to deal with the money to cover those things. And then we get, so who's gonna take care of me when I get old? And so we trouble and fret over that. We trouble and fret over finances. Will I have a job? How will the bills get paid? How am I going to be able to look after my family? We look at the housing in this area. We were talking about this out in the lobby. We're having our goodies out there. And I saw some, I believe the average cost of a home in King County, I think, is over $1 million now. That's just crazy. That is just crazy. I have two grown kids that live in apartments. They'd love to have homes. $1 million. How are we gonna deal with this? How am I gonna take care of my family? How am I gonna be able to afford this world? And then, of course, family trouble. There's marital problems. There's problems with the in-laws. There's parents with children. There's problems with parents. There's, and we can keep going on. There's problems with problems with problems. And these things are not new. These things have always been there. And so we worry and we fret. Because the trauma we experience on these things is real. And so we worry. Now, as a believer, as a child of God, worry in reality is practical atheism. Now think about that. Because your worry is resulting from two things that you wouldn't admit this, but this is how you're operating. This is how I am operating. I don't believe that God will take care of these things, nor do I believe that he can. And so I worry because I look at a worst case scenario and the whole thing is just going to come crashing down and we're all doomed. One of the remarkable things is that in the 2,000 years since this book was penned, the world goes on. The gospel continues to spread. God's children come into being. We trust Christ as Savior. We live our lives. We pass the faith on to another. We pass off the scene. This has been the case for 2,000 years and more. And every generation before us has worried and fretted and found comfort and solace in this passage. Paul says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Now, it's easy to say that. Don't do that! Okay, but I'm still worried. I can't just make those things go away. Somebody who is wrestling with depression, somebody who is wrestling with anxiety, somebody who is wrestling with whatever the case may be, and you just say, stop that! Well, that's a nice answer. But it doesn't resolve the problem. Yes, you know it needs to go away. Yes, you recognize that it's a problem. But I can't just say, it's gone. That was nice. Oh, thank you so much for telling me that I need to get rid of that. That helped everything. Get over it! Oh, I wish I could. That would be nice. I would love to be able to get over it. Can you give me a cue on how to get over that? Well, Paul does. Paul does. By the way, I suspect that he is speaking from the heart. Most people who are AA, AAA type personalities are worriers. And the reason they are worriers is because they see all the contingencies. They look at all the things that might be. Which is why they're able to make decisions and be leaders, because they can hash out the possibilities. They're not oblivious. Now they may be upbeat because they can see, oh, this isn't going to happen. Because the vast majority of the things that we worry about will never happen. All right, I think I've used this as a quote not too long ago. This was inscribed on a stone wall in a monastery 400 or 500 years ago. He said, my life has been filled with troubles, most of which never happened. And that's true. We deal with all the what might be's, all the things that we think might happen. And they don't happen. Yes, we do have troubles. Yes, we have difficulties. I'm not saying we don't have any. But I'm saying that most of the things we worry about are things that don't happen. We deal with all the what might happen. And so he says, be careful for nothing. But here's the solution. Here's how we can avoid the worry, avoid the anxiety. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I have an alternative. It doesn't all depend on me, nor is it random chance. There is a sovereign God who is in control out there. And he is my God and he is my Father. I know him, and more importantly, he knows me. And so I am to pray. Prayer is our conversation with God. The word there really refers to any address toward God. It doesn't deal with specifics, but some of the ones we're looking at do. So the cure for care is prayer. I have my lists. I keep my clipboards. I don't trust electronic devices. The battery may die, and then my list is gone forever. So I actually have I'm into hard copies and that kind of thing, which means I have a zillion pieces of paper that I have to keep track of, and I lose those too. I have this to take care of. 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 I love being able to. One of the highlights of my day is to check something off my list. I'm seeing some nodding heads. A soulmate. I can check something off my list. I delegated something. I took it off of my list and put it on yours. But you are an expert in this. This is where your talent, your gift, your aptitude lies. And so you take this and you go, yes, I will have fun with this. What is anxious for me becomes fun for you. And so it gets done. And that's a great and wonderful thing, but it takes it off my list. God is able, is capable, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, it says in 1 Peter 5:7. I have a God who knows and cares. And yes, he recognizes, he knows me better than I know myself, and he knows what is on my plate, and he knows the burdens that are on my heart, and the things that concern me, and the things that I weep over in secret. And then he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication is the idea of petition, a request, especially when it's arising out of need. By the way, when we pray, deal with specifics. I mentioned this a couple of times in the last few months. Prayer is a very liberating thing. It really is. Because as I pray for people in situations, I don't have to, you know, when I pray for you, and I pray for everybody in this room, when I pray for you, I may not, matter of fact, I very likely am not praying for the things that you would necessarily want me to pray for. Some of them I am. But I am praying for the things that I think you need. And for me, that's very liberating. Because there are some things that I could take you aside and say, listen, you need to get this taken care of, and this needs to happen in your life, and you need to stop doing this, and you need to be thinking about this. And you would go. But I could pray about those things. And I don't have to worry about it. Because I'm giving it to God. Because a lot of those are things that I can't do anything about. Matter of fact, most of the things we worry about, one of the reasons we worry about it is because it's beyond us. And so I give it to God that there's nothing beyond Him. And so when I pray, when you pray, it ought to be not bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so. It's easy to slide into, frankly, vain repetition. When I ask God to bless someone, what exactly am I asking God to do? Lord, just have some sort of vague positive outcome in this situation. What are we praying for? We have a tendency to have, whether we realize it or not, and it's not wholly wrong, but we have a tendency to lapse into memorizing our prayers and making a recitation. And so we need to be dealing with specific requests, not generalities. When I'm outside walking through the mist, greeting people as they come in, one of the things I will occasionally do, especially if I know something's going on, is I will, you know, ask a question. And some of those are updates for my prayer list. Sometimes we complain in our praying. By the way, as you read through the Psalms, recognize that a lot of that is praying. Have you ever noticed how much complaining goes on in the Psalms? David, or whoever the author might have been, was pouring his heart out. And it lets you know that the biblical writers that lived 3,000 years ago were dealing with the same issues that you and I are. And sometimes it was complaining. Now, what is God's attitude toward whiners? We don't like whiners. Unless it's us, and then I wasn't whining. I wasn't really whining. I was pouring my heart out. Sometimes there's rebuke. Elijah fleeing from Jezebel there at Mount Sinai. They've killed all the prophets and I alone am left. And Elijah repeats the same thing a couple times. They've killed all the prophets and I alone am left and they seek to take my life. And when God rebuked Elijah, it was done gently. Because God is aware of our trials. He doesn't necessarily hit us with a hammer. Sometimes there's chastisement. Sometimes it is severe. Israel in the wilderness. People get mad at God. They don't like God's method. They don't like God's plan. This is what, when we go through tragedies, yeah, I see this all the time. You go through a tragedy. And people either turn to God or they get angry with God. It's usually one of the two. You don't have too much shrugging of the shoulders and say, oh well, it's usually one or the other. And you are much, much, much better off turning to God than turning away from God. I've known some people that have been embittered with God for decades because over something they experienced. Instead of finding the blessing that is in the midst of the tragedy, which is very often the case, they lapse into bitterness themselves. And they never get over it. The real need is that we turn to God. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Turn to God. And sometimes God recognizes, we see this again with the psalmist, we can ask the wise. God may or may not see fit to give us the answer. But he knows what we're going through. But he says, request with thanksgiving. Sometimes it's hard to give thanks in the midst of trial. But when we give God thanksgiving, it implies we're looking at something that we can give thanks to God for. And it may be the trial. And everything give thanks, Paul said. Well, how could I? In everything, give thanks. I can look at lots of trials and difficulties in my life that brought, without those trials, this would not have happened. And this is what needed to happen. But the trial over here had to happen before the blessing over here could happen. The shut door over here had to happen before the open door over here took place. So in everything, give thanks. We go through pain and difficulty for blessings later on. And the thanksgiving implies trust for the future. The idea that, God, you got me through this before, and I trust you can do it again. The longer we live in the Christian life, the more trials and more bumps we've hit in the road, the more we can deal with them by the grace of God. Grateful recollections of the past do much to prevent present anxieties. And then requests. Made known to God. First Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God knows what's best. I have to trust him. I trust him for eternity. I've got to trust him for today. I got to trust him for tomorrow. In speaking to Sarah and Abraham regarding the birth of Isaac. Now remember how old these two were. Remember that God had promised you two, Abraham, Isaac, you two, you're 100 and you're 90. And next year, Sarah, you're going to have a child. And Sarah laughed. And it wasn't, oh boy, I'm overjoyed, thank you. It was like, right. And what happened? It happened. And they named the child Isaac, which means in Hebrew, laughter. Because when God made this promise and she laughed, God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Now, make sure we recognize that we have personal responsibility in these things. If I can do something, I ought to do something. I need to be obedient regardless of the circumstances. So what's the result of these things? Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I will receive peace, confidence in God, assurance. God has given me his word. And it passes understanding, it surpasses, it rises above our ability to comprehend it. That in spite of the circumstances, God can give peace and contentment. Because I'm resting in him. He will do what's right. And he shall keep your hearts and minds. The word there is could be translated guard. As a soldier guards something. The peace of God will guard us from the worry, from the anxiety. And he shall keep your hearts and minds, my emotions, my affections, the thoughts and acts of my whole being. God will keep and guard and sustain me, regardless of the circumstances. Yes, a lot of the worries, a lot of the fears may be real. And most of them aren't. But some of them are real. And yet God gives us grace to deal. And so when we look at all the mayhem, the chaos in our own lives and in the world around us, which is nothing new, we ought to pray. Great revivals have very often come on the heels of great tragedy and times of turmoil. pray the Lord would do this. Turn tragedy into blessing. Turn this to His glory. And pray that the Lord would give us the peace and the fortitude and the vision to seize the opportunity and turn it into ministry. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. Father, thank You. We look forward to our vision of seeing You. We will see You. But Father, in the meantime, we live in a wicked and perverse world. And it's always been wicked and perverse since the fall. Father, thank You that we are Your children. And You have given us promises and You have given us a vision of the future. And so, Father, may our confidence, our rest be in the God who does not change in spite of a changing world. And that You are in control of our circumstances, of our lives, and You love us and You care for us. And Father, You've asked us, You've told us, You've commanded us to pray. And so, Father, may we seek Your face. May we be tools in Your hands to accomplish Your purpose. And Father, be Your spokesman in a world that so desperately needs You. And Father, may You turn our personal tragedies, our personal challenges, our causes of anxiety into causes of blessing and opportunity. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.